Now, if we would get to the final topic of today's episode, and this is a, on my notes, it looks thick. I'm not entirely sure how long it'll take me, right? Because sometimes when I write a lot of notes, it doesn't end up taking as long as I thought it did. But we'll see. So I put this one at the end. But now, we get into Congress and the treason against the United States that they have committed. And we'll be hyper-focusing on Mike Johnson, but understand it's all of Congress. It's all of Congress. 300-plus votes for this trash. It's gonna be approved in the Senate. You know all these folks waving Ukraine flags as they go. You know, just treason, just treason across the board. But you know, it's good for the American public to see this. You know, it's good for them to know just how captured their Congress, which is supposedly up by and for them. I think it's good for us to see this, because that way you know what it is that we're up against. That way you know what Trump is fighting against. That way you know who it is that we're talking about when we talk about draining the swamp. For the obvious treason against the United States that it is, I think America needed to see this. I think America needed that slap in the face. Because before this, it was, oh, it's just foreign aid. We shouldn't be giving it. Oh, we're helping these poor countries around the world. But as things get worse in America, and that leeway is gone, and Americans are looking around, seeing, well, how do we get here? Why is everything so bad? Why can't I live? And then they watch as their government, looking to their government for answers. Now they watch as their government sends $95 billion to foreign countries. Huh. So what about us, the Americans say? What about us? And that's a question they're going to be asking for, what month is it? April? Okay, so that's, let's see, May, June, July, August, September, and October, November. Oh, right. That guy takes office in January, so not just November, December, and then January. Okay. So, what about us is a question that Americans are going to be asking for at least about 9 months, by my calculation, but at least about 9 months. I think that's a good rough estimate for how long we're going to be asking that question. But, alas, let's get into this. Johnson. Let's talk about Mike Johnson, why don't we? Let's talk about Mike MAGA America First Johnson, you know. Mike Johnson. One betrayal, two betrayal, three betrayal, four. Johnson sent $1 billion, he'll send 100 more. That's a nice little jingle I made thinking about this, you know. You know, being betrayed by your own government makes you very creative. It gets the creative juices flowing. But tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Nearly $100 billion sent overseas. It's like... But, you know, he was just so MAGA. Get that nigga up out of here. Next. Next. And I saw this coming from light years away. He's going to be vacated. It's already a done deal. He's going to be vacated. So, it's just a matter of the process. Thomas Massie is talking about, you know, an 8 weeks so that they could decide on a new speaker before they vacate him, so that they don't go through the same fiasco of, you know, multiple votes for the speakership happening in a single day, where you get 14 votes of the 14 speaker votes before Kevin McCarthy was fully ousted. You know, I think he deserves the spectacle. You know, I think every one of these bums deserve the spectacle of losing votes over and over and over and over again, just to really drive it home that you fucked up, and to have to sit there and wallow in your own filth. But I get where Thomas Massie's coming from. It's probably that was a bit of a gamble. It was worth it, but probably if you have a better way of doing it, you should probably take it. But you know, if you don't, then put them through the public humiliation of sitting there, of having to sit there and watch themselves fail multiple speakership votes. But I'll digress. I saw this coming from light years away. I really did. Can't say I didn't. And you listen to this podcast, you listen to me, you saw this coming too. Because in spite of all the glazing, and I swear, there were some real glizzy gladiators on this guy's gach. All over this guy's gach when he replaced Kevin McCarthy. Oh, yeah, they were really giving it to him. Like, I bet it was he was the happiest he had ever been in his life when he became the speaker because of all that glazing. The greatest head on earth, the greatest political head on earth. And because once we got that bum, Kevin McCarthy, out, everyone was like, oh, he's so MAGA. Oh, Mike Johnson? He's a good Christian man, and he's the America first speaker we need. You know, that was, you remember all that trash? Now, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Well, not the benefit of the doubt, I think that's the wrong way to put it. I gave him a chance, all right? I gave him a chance to do the right thing, because, you know, I don't know who this guy was. I never heard of him before. So, but if he's the guy we're putting in, then certainly he's going to do something useful. We'll give him a chance, because I think everyone deserves a chance to do the right thing, right? But I knew he was not who he was made out to be from the moment he passed that resolution supporting Israel. The moment he passed that resolution, that told me everything I needed to know. Because he's supposed to be America first. Supposed to be America first. But his first order of business was passing a resolution not to support the American people, but to support Israel. I mean, just think for a moment about that. I'm saying just a lot, but just think about that for just a moment. His first priority was to make America his second priority. His first priority was making America his second priority, but he's America first. And now, with the $95 billion foreign aid package going through, with his blessing and express consent, and he made a two video statements. He was on video twice defending this thing with his life. You know, you think that he lobbied his entire life for this bill, and this was just the culmination of his entire career, and not a deviation from the course, which is what it really was. But with the passing of this bill, he has not only put America second. Oh, no. That's too good for you. You filthy American citizen heathen dog. No, being second is too good for you. No. He put Israel first, Ukraine second, and Taiwan third. And America has been abandoned to a distant fourth. If it's only that far down on the list. We don't know how far down on the list we are. We can verify that we're fourth and below. We can verify that much now. We know for certain that we're somewhere around fourth or below. We know we're not in the top three. No, the top three is reserved for Israel, Ukraine. Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. That's the top three. We're at most number four on the list. But there's no guarantee that that's as far down as we go. So, with the understanding that his first priority was to make America his second priority, this was a betrayal truly months in the making in light of that. But let's get into the betrayal. Let's get into the specifics of the betrayal. What happened? Last week, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, was placed on a suicide watch after he made the fateful decision to kill himself politically, pushing through a disgusting foreign aid bill providing a collective $95 billion of our money for Ukraine, $61 billion, Israel, $26 billion, up $12 billion from the $14 billion that they were promised, and Taiwan, who's going to be receiving $8 billion in aid. Oh, and by the way, we got a ban on TikTok. Oh, and by the way, we got no concessions on border security. or actually any or anything else of value to the American citizens. You know those people that Congress is actually supposed to be working for, not all these lobbyists and these randoms from overseas. Yeah, nothing useful was gained in exchange for such a betrayal. In exchange for treason against the United States, nothing useful was was gained. So all these months that we were sitting on this aid bill, on the aid bill, where they were demanding border security measures, we just sat there and got nothing on border security, and you just gave them money anyway. Huh. No. So in exchange for treason, you didn't even get like a little nugget, like some crumbs, and go, sure, we betrayed the country and gave $100 billion of your money to foreign countries, who are losing wars, and who aren't going to be able to pay us back. But at least we got you some secure, a more secure border. You know the crumbs. We're not even worth the crumbs anymore, guys. We're worth betrayal. That's the worth that we have in the eyes of these people in Congress. We are worthy of nothing but betrayal, right? We're not even worthy of the crumbs to mask and hide the betrayal. We're not even worthy of a political cover-up. We're not worthy of the effort for covering up their tracks, right? They're just gonna betray us right in our face. $95 billion, $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan. And a ban on TikTok, more censorship, and not a nam concession on the border. Or anything else of value. Because it didn't necessarily have to be the border, that was just the issue that they chose. And nothing. They could have picked anything else, like maybe, I don't know, a budget, a budget, sound money, maybe a withdrawal of our troops from this or that region, a vote on a war powers resolution in some region around the world, you know. Maybe an actual declaration of war on the Houthis, if we're going to go down this path. You know, anything. Now, some of those are better than others, objectively. But they could have done anything in exchange for that leverage that they had. Instead, you just let it go. You sat on it, made your demands, and then walked away without getting a single concession. And this coming after trying to keep the FISA courts alive by denying changes to the courts which would have required warrants for spying on American citizens. And I think this is really just setting up the FISA courts for being abolished later on. But this is how... So no Fourth Amendment, all right? So we're betraying Americans under the Fourth Amendment, right? Not just with FISA courts, but with TikTok. We're going to spy on you, and we're going to monitor your online activities, because we need to know. All these same people who talk about free speech, we need to know, all right? They're not going to do anything about Facebook or Google or Apple, who also spy on you, who also sell your data. They're not going to do anything about that, but we're going to ban TikTok. Yeah? But what has been interesting is seeing a lot of people who were on board the TikTok ban before now being against it. You know, perhaps it's just Biden was the one who did it. You know, Biden's in office, so now we have to be against the TikTok ban, which is actually the correct position to be against the TikTok ban. What good does banning TikTok do you if your concern is privacy? What good does banning TikTok do you if you're just gonna let, again, Facebook, Google, Apple, and many others continue to spy on you and sell your data to advertisers? What have you solved? What have you achieved? Because more people are using Google, not Facebook anymore, But more people are using Google and Apple in America than are using TikTok. Because those are more universal platforms, and TikTok is an app. Universal platforms that spy on you versus an app. Okay, well, it's nice to see that they have their priorities in order. Screwing over the Americans on their Fourth Amendment rights, screwing Americans over on their freedom on the internet, screwing Americans out of $100 billion to throw away on losing wars in Europe and the Middle East, and the looming losing war on Taiwan. Given that Taiwan is getting this money now, I wonder when Taiwan is going to make its way into the center stage, you know. Israel upstaged Ukraine, so now we're going to wait for things to get really bad in Israel, and then all of a sudden the Taiwan war is going to pop off. And then they're all going to lose. Ukraine's going to lose, Israel's going to lose, Taiwan's going to lose. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Like, going back to that epiphany I had, that I'll make a segment on at some point when I fully piece my thoughts together. But this Israel conflict, man, has spawned such a political earthquake in the United States. No one in this country after the fact is going to ever understand how we could have supported Israel in the way that we did for so long. Like, it's one of those kind of shifts. Like, the country after the shift is unrecognizable to the country before in terms of views and values. That's the shift we're looking at. And it would have never happened were it not for this crisis in Palestine. And no one could have ever predicted it. But it's happening. And the depth of it. And the depth of it running all the way down to the war on terror. I think the war in Israel, between Israel and Palestine, is the end of the war on terror. And again, I'll elaborate on that when I piece my thoughts together. But this is just, you know, to give you a sense of the epiphany I've had. With lots of qualifications needed and, you know, explanation needed, obviously. But I'll get around to that. Don't. But alas, back to the betrayal of the United States. So, $100 billion for foreign countries, no concessions on the border or anything else of value to Americans. Betrayed us on FISA just before this. I mean, so scandalous was the revelation that we were going to be, that he was going to allow this foreign aid package to be put up for a vote when previously he said he wouldn't. So scandalous was this that speculation of Speaker Johnson having been blackmailed was making its rounds, and it's still making its rounds, although I think the consensus is increasingly donors and the CIA, you know, which is a fair consensus to settle on, not, oh, he had a change of heart over these last 5 months and he just really thinks it's so important to get that money to Ukraine. Yeah. Even if he did think that, he wouldn't commit political suicide over that, right? So let's cool off on that idea. I think lobbyists, political pressure from Republicans threatening to resign and give a sort of de facto majority of the Democrats on the issue, and the CIA, you know, pushed him overboard. He had to do it. And in that way, I can feel just a tad bit sympathetic for Mike Johnson, because I'd hate to be in that position. But at the same time, I'd love to be in that position, because I'm toxic. All right, I'll sit there and, you want to resign? You're threatening to resign over this issue, and you're going to let the devil shoot. Goodbye. Bye. We don't want you anyway. Bye. That's 30 new MAGA seats we can fill. look, the Democrats, they got a majority temporarily. Oh, heavens. They're going to do all this shit that Americans don't want. And they can take the blame. They can take the heat for this. You know, if I was in his shoes, you know I'm toxic. I'd do it. You shouldn't. What would the consequences be? from now, what will the consequences be? From now until the elections, well, now until, you know, the inauguration and the seating of a new Congress, we'd have the Democrats back in power. That'd be the consequence. But with the Republicans, we have now, who needs Democrats? Who needs the Democrats? If you're just gonna do what they want anyway, shit, we may as well have them. At least then they will take 100% of the blame. But perhaps this is also good, you know? Perhaps there's a bit of a silver lining in this as well. Because now we know which Republicans are MAGA and which Republicans aren't. And it seems it's about 50-50 in the House right now. We're making some good inroads, folks. Making some good inroads. So now we know who to vote the fuck out of power. We know who to vote the fuck out of office come November. There are some real silver linings with this, I'm telling you. You know, it's not all gloom and doom. When you play the game of politics and you play it well. This vote allowed us to see who is and is not worthy of re-election. And, you know, in a way we have to thank Mike Johnson for that. You know, enabling this to happen. Right? You know. But only for that. Only for that. We will thank him for nothing else. He's been worthless and he's spineless, apparently. So, get that nigga up out of here. Time for someone new. Resign in disgrace. Or be vacated in even greater disgrace. And that's all we have to say for Sir Mike Johnson. Or at least that's what I would say if his comments defending himself weren't so scandalous. Where do I want to begin with this? Down here, my notes are less organized, so give me just a second here. Just a second. Alright, so there's his second. That's the second statement that I grabbed from him. So we'll come up to the first one. Here we go. So we have two statements that I've grabbed from this guy defending himself, right? So understand that what I'm about to read to you is Mike Johnson's defense of his change of heart. This is his defense of his 180 degree turn on policy out of his own mouth, right? Just so you don't think that I'm making this look bad intentionally. No, this is what he said. All right, these are his words, right? So to defend himself, Johnson gave a brief address. He gave two, but I'll start with this one. He gave a brief address justifying his change in position towards the very policy position that he was promoted to the speakership to prevent. He said, quote, "We have to stand for freedom. We have to stand for freedom. We have to be the beacon of light, and we have to show strength, because the perception of a strong America is good for the entire world. It's not just good for the security and safety of Americans, but for the security and safety of free people around the globe. The only thing that has kept terrorists and tyrants at bay is the perception of a strong America. We should stand strong, and we will. And I think Congress is going to show that is a very important message that we're going to send to the world this week. And I'm anxious to get it done, and I'm glad to get it there." End quote. So I tried to do my best Mike Johnson impression. I actually haven't heard this guy speak much since he became the speaker. Now, when asked about this potentially costing him his job as the speaker and as a representative in general, he talked about doing the right thing and letting the chips fall where they may. He said that history judges us for what we do, and this is a critical time right now. A critical time on the world stage. And he continued saying, quote, "I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I believe the intel and the briefings we've gotten, I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil, and I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go into the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. Yeah. And he concluded, but I'm just chugging through all this. This is his defense of himself, right? He concluded by saying, to put it bluntly, I'd rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. I mean, my son is going to be in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is for so many Americans, so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing, and I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this situation is supposed to work, and I'm willing to take personal risk for that, because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge us. Well, before I tell you that that's a load of shit, before I say that, right, I will say that single-issue voting, it would be a good idea. Single-issue voting would be a good idea. If he had broken the bill up, right, into the Ukraine aid package, the Israel aid package, the Taiwan aid package, the TikTok ban, if he'd broken it up, and before putting those up for a vote, said, you have to vote on border security. He put up a real border security bill and put that up for a vote first. And, you know, you could have the other bills drafted, you just don't put them up for a vote yet. Put the border security bill up first and say, look, I'm willing to put all these other votes up for all these other items, these other line items up for a vote, but you have to vote on border security first, right? That would have been fair, right? It still would have been rather shitty, but that would have been a much better alternative, and it would have been a real way to get past this impasse. You know, let them vote. I almost said let the people vote. Let Congress vote. Get your border security in first, get your concessions in first, and then you let, you know, it's the give and the take. The give and the take. They give you, you give their borders, you give their foreign aid, but you take border security. And because you have the leverage, you have border security go first. You know, it could have gone that way. And quite frankly, it could have gone a lot of ways, and most of them would have been better than what we got. But they didn't go that way. So now we'll come back to what I said earlier. This is a load of shit. He's talking about, he says, we have to stand for freedom and be the beacon of light, and we have to show strength. How are we showing strength when we can't beat desert bandits? How does losing multiple engagements against desert bandits show strength, Mike Johnson? Because people, and this is an interventionist problem, they think that being involved by itself shows strength. No, when you're constantly losing and you keep doing the same thing against the people you keep losing to, that's not a show of strength. That's a show of ignorance and stupidity. That's a show of stupidity. You're going to keep engaging these people the same way, and then you're going to be shocked when you keep losing. No, that's not strength, that's stupidity. Stupidity is a show of weakness. If you're stupid, you are weak. You're weak. But we have to be a strong America. It's not just important for our safety and security, but the safety and security of a free people around the globe. You're not the Speaker of the House for the people around the globe. You're Speaker of the House of the United States, House of Representatives. So what are we talking about here? What are we talking about? A free people around the world. They have their own fucking governments. They have their own fucking countries. They don't need you. All right? We need you to keep your eye on the ball, and the ball is the United States of America. That's your job. Not the free people around the world. The free world. No. America. That's your job, America. It's not, we didn't say of, by, and for the free people around the world. No. Of, by, and for the people of this country. That's what was implied. Of, by, and for the people of this country. We the people, not of the free world. We the people of this country. Of the colonies that formed this country. That's what we're talking about. That's the agenda. That's number one. Alright? And it's just... And again, another thank you has to be given to Mike Johnson here for being so obnoxious, for bringing up that same obnoxious talking point of what other people need out of America. Other people need, and the lie that our security is somehow impingent upon foreign engagements around the world that don't do anything useful for the United States. Losing wars in the Middle East somehow makes America safer. And not only that, but being in a permanent state of war somehow makes America safe, according to Mike Johnson and the other people who think this way. Sure. But we have to thank him. We have to thank him for being so obnoxious about that and for espousing that lie. We have to thank him. I'll elaborate in a minute. But, yeah, what a load of shit. I mean, now he's speaking interventionese during this, and, you know, that's like nails on a chalkboard for me. So these are my biases, right? Those are my biases. I couldn't stand listening to this guy talk. And again, I haven't heard him talk much, but hearing him talk and saying that, I could not stand listening to him. But these are my biases, all right? These are my biases. So understand that that's where I'm coming from, you know? Important to be clear about my biases, but those are my biases. But my biases aren't what's important right now, okay? What's important is that my biases are about to be shared and with America and become America's biases. And that's why I say I both love and hate what he said. And not just hit this first statement that I gave you, but the second one we'll get into in a minute. I love and hate it. I love and hate it. I hate what he said, right? Because of who he is, but because of who he is and what he was put into the speakership to do, the consequences of his words, the consequences, those are what I love. I hate what he said, but because of who he is and what he was put into the speakership to do, the consequences of his words will have an impact that I love. So I love and hate that he said this. I mean, seriously, if you wanted to reawaken the isolationist spirit of America to the point of coming up from beneath the surface and demands being made of Congress to keep us out of other people's problems, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Because, again, Americans were willing to put up with this when they were living comfortably, when things were going well for them. Things aren't going well for them. They're not willing to put up with this anymore. They're looking around, again, looking around. How did we get here? Why is everything so bad? They're looking at their government. And when they look to their government, they get a lecture. They get a lecture on how important other people's problems are. As they send America's money, not to Americans, but to other countries. And then they have the nerve to gaslight Americans about how all this was necessary for America's national security and for America's national interest. Wow. I mean, really, if you wanted to make Americans overtly hostile towards any kind of foreign aid and foreign commitment at all, you'd do everything that former, and I'll just throw that former in there preemptively, you would do everything that former Speaker Mike Johnson is doing right before our very eyes. Again, lecturing the American public on how important other people's problems are, sending America's money, not to Americans, but to other countries, gaslighting Americans on how all this was necessary for America's national security and for America's national interests. What an insult. What an absolute insult. And I hate it, but I love the consequences. I just love and adore the consequences of this. Because there's only one way this can go. There's only one way this reaction can go, and it's going to be against alliances, against foreign commitments, against endless wars, against everything that I hate about American foreign policy. I hate this guy, but I love him so much. It's just he's just like Biden. I can't stand the guy, but his blunders overseas are they're destroying our alliances. We sabotaged the hell out of Europe with that Nord Stream thing. I mean, and a war on their doorstep, bleeding them dry, allowing Russia, by way of prolonging this war, allowing Russia to demilitarize all of NATO. I mean, my goodness, and the massive increase in the cost of living and in energy prices in Europe. We screwed them so bad. They're never going to want to be allies with us again. And this is the result of Biden's policy. I mean, like, I don't like this Biden guy, but guys, we might need another 4 years of this Biden guy. just destroying alliances one after the other by doubling down on them in the worst possible ways. We might need 4 more years of this guy. That's how I feel about Mike Johnson. That's how I feel about Mike Johnson right now. I can't stand what he just said, but the consequences are so juicy and delicious that I need him to give a couple. He might have to go on a speaking tour, guys. We might have to organize a fund to get this guy to go on a speaking tour. He'll beat out Hillary Clinton. He'll beat out Obama. I think America really needs to hear what he has to say. Okay, I just think that America would really benefit from his perspective and his wisdom. We'd benefit all right, because America would be so pissed off by what he said that we'd never consent to another alliance again, and that actually would do something useful for America. You know, it's very ironic, very backwards, but I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, as to his second thing that he said, Because he went on to dig his grave further. He had to dig his grave a little bit more, right? Because he reiterated this, the things that he said, and he proclaimed himself to be a wartime speaker. Now, I'm sure Mr. Johnson is well aware of the fact that Congress hasn't declared war since December of 1941, but America hasn't exactly been a nation at peace these last 80 years, so, you know, we can let that one slide, because he's technically right. Technically. Just, we're not at war with Russia. We're not at war with Russia. We're technically not at war with Hamas, I think. I know for a fact we're not at war with Iran. Technically, we're not at war with Hamas. We're in the war on terror, but technically not at war with Hamas. Technically not at war with Hezbollah. I mean, we don't fight them directly. I think we're in a de facto state of war with the Houthis, so there's one, right? There's one. But yeah, he proclaims himself a wartime speaker. But again, America hasn't exactly been at peace, so we can let that one slide. But here's what he had to say. He said, and I quote, look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times. It's been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. Look, I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in the literal sense, we are. Knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country. And the moment we're in right now, unbelievable. I did not finish the quote. <That's>, I didn't finish writing the quote. Well, that's a first. I didn't mean to cut him off like that. I suppose I got sidetracked. But you get what he's saying. I think it would take me a bit too long to grab the rest of that speech. But you get the gist of what he's saying. He thinks he's a wartime speaker now. He's saying this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker Do we choose America or do we choose hundreds of billions of dollars for foreign countries? Oh, it's such a hard decision. Oh, my God. However will we decide upon this? My goodness. But, you know, this is what happens when you derive your legitimacy from external rather than internal factors. So when you derive your legitimacy as a country internally, what matters is prosperity for your people. What matters is making sure that the people living inside your country can live a good life. What matters is not what other countries think about you and not what you're going to do to this country and that country and Joe Blow dictator over there and how you're going to stand up to this or that regime. When you derive your legitimacy as a country internally, it's about prosperity, it's about economics, it's about flourishing, it's about building, right? It's about making life worth living for your people. Very simple. And it's very healthy that way. But when you subscribe to the mental sickness of interventionism and you start deriving your country's legitimacy through external factors. Oh, we have these alliances here, 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 and here. We're working to contain Russia. We're gonna contain China. We're gonna contain all these countries that we don't like. We're gonna impose sanctions on you. We're gonna cut you off from the trade route. We're gonna cut you off from SWIFT. Now that's the mother of all sanctions. Your currencies is it's done. It's done. It's over. The ruble is rubble. Okay, now surrender. Okay, we're gonna impose oil price caps on you. Yeah, we're building alliances, we're building coalitions, we're building partnerships, not walking away. We're working with our allies to confront the challenges of tomorrow. You know, you believe stupid shit like that when you derive your legitimacy through external rather than internal means. And thus, every setback that you have externally, you know, between you and other countries, every setback you have outside of your own country is a blow to the legitimacy of your country as a whole. And when you derive your legitimacy through external rather than internal means, you stop caring about how well your people are doing. You stop caring about whether or not they can live a good life. You stop caring about whether or not their cost of living is acceptable or not. You stop caring about infrastructure. You stop caring about economics. You stop caring about sound trade policy. You stop caring about your birth rates and whether or not there's going to be a next generation. You stop caring about the fundamentals of a country, of a nation, of a civilization. You stop caring about that because that's internal. And that doesn't make you look good on the global stage, because if you take the time to focus on your own issues, how are you going to be able to focus on other people's issues? How are you going to be able to let your allies know that you're going to be with them if you're taking the time to get your own country in order? How are the Israelis going to know that we're going to be there to protect them if we're a nation in retreat? We can't be seen as a nation in retreat. Leaving Afghanistan, we've been seen as a nation in retreat, and Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin and all these dictators, they're going to see that, and they're going to capitalize on that, and they're going to go in, and we can't let them go in. We have to control other. When you derive your legitimacy from external factors, you start to subscribe to the idea that you have to control other people outside of your country, which doesn't work. It doesn't work. Unless you're willing to go over there and colonize them, it doesn't work. And even when you do colonize them, it usually doesn't work for that long. You know, most empires expand and contract over a period of multiple decades. Some empires last longer than others, you know, last for a few hundred years, get a couple good centuries in you. But in the end, the weight of empire crushes you. And you recede back to your core territories. And sometimes those core territories aren't as big as you'd like to believe that they are. Now, China has the blessing of having very large core territories. Iran is always going to be solid. The country that we know as Iran will always be the solid base of any Persian empire that's just been tested and tried through all of time. That is Persia, right? That is Persia heartland. It doesn't get any smaller than that. So they have that. I think America will be in a similar boat. But yeah, when you derive your legitimacy through external means, you stop caring about your own citizen and you start caring about the conditions of people whom you have no power or jurisdiction over. I mean, you see these commentators every time the idea of not being involved in a war comes up. They're like, we can't just abandon these people over here. I saw this debate on Piers Morgan, and this lady, she's like, the people of Iran, that they want a new regime. They don't want to live under the Ayatollahs, and they we need real regime change in Iran. It's like, well, okay. And she talks about a few thousand people protesting. Well, Iran is a country of 90 million, so I don't know if you want to weigh those numbers against the general populace or not, but the idea that America should be concerning itself with the internal political affairs of Iran, and then using the internal political affairs of Iran as justification for bombing Iran for the purpose of regime change is dumb. It is objectively dumb. And I don't mean to rag on that lady too hard, but I think her arguments in the debate were pretty exemplary of people who think that way. Because how many times do we hear people just openly talk about conducting strikes on Iranian targets when this crisis broke out in Palestine in October the 7th, you had those retards, Lindsey Graham and Nikki Haley, talking about we're going to take Iran out of the oil business, we're going to strike Iran, we're going to strike him hard, and all this shit. That's war. It's as if it doesn't even register in their mind when they talk about being the tough guy. We're going to be so tough on Iran, we're going to bomb them here, bomb them there, bomb them everywhere. That's a war. You're talking about starting a war with Iran. I mean, I mocked the shit out of Tim Scott on my Twitter when that Republican debate came out. I think it was either number 3 or number 2, but that debate came out and they were talking about Iran. With the subject of Iran came up. This is obviously before October the 7th. And they were talking about, well, we're gonna do this, that, and the third one with Iran. And I'm like, oh, so your policy is that you're going to start a war with Iran. Okay, next. But it's as if these people, it doesn't even register that all this tough guy talk they're talking about doing with Iran is one act of war after the next. And it's easy to see from my perspective, but if you genuinely believe, because, you know, just putting myself in the shoes of the other side for a second, if you genuinely believe that America's credibility as a nation is dependent on all of these external displays of bravado and power, and not actually based on economics, manufacturing, industry, society, and culture, you know, and a flourishing middle class, you know, the things that real power are built on, the basis of real longevity are built upon, if your focus is on the displays rather than the internal machinations of the machine, if your focus is on the grade and not the process by which you can earn the grade, then you end up looking stupid, because you go to the teacher demanding that he give you an A+ on every test and every assignment. And that's the difference. It's the difference between demanding an A versus doing the work, studying, learning the material, and taking the test and earning the A. Because that's the difference between external and internal. External says that I deserve the A because I'm a superpower. I'm popular in the school. I deserve an A. So you have to give it to me, Mr. Teacher. It's like, well, hold on now. You can't just demand an A. You have to earn an A. And at a certain point, you're going to reach a teacher, no matter how popular you are, you're going to reach the teacher that says, no, go sit your goofy ass down. The test is on Friday. Now study. Internally focused would be studying, paying attention in class, doing the homework, learning the material, learning what you're doing. And then you can demonstrate that when the test comes. The test, that's when you demonstrate your strength. You don't always have to demonstrate your that you know everything when you're in when you're doing the work. You don't have to demonstrate you that's you can ask questions. It's okay to admit that you're not strong in this area, but you're gonna learn. That these are things that you're able to do when you're focused internally, not externally, because when it's externally it's about optics. When it's internally, it's about the process. And I think that we're getting a real good lesson in that and in the difference between these mindsets more and more as time goes on, especially as Congress sells us out, on paper at least, for the purposes of prestige and looking good abroad. Because the more these excuses are used, and it's not a matter of whether or not they're actually, the people using these excuses, like Mike Johnson, actually believe them. America needs to show strength all the time. We're the beacon of light. Whether or not he believes that is irrelevant. What's relevant is that he's using this and using these talking points as means of berating and lecturing the American public on why they have to do things that they don't want to do. And the inevitable result of that is that there's going to be a rejection of this. And because he used these as the baseline for his justification, the rejection is going to include these talking points. The rejection is going to be of external validation and an embracing of internal validation. And I think that that's going to be a much better direction for our country to head in. So I'll summarize and I'll end off saying what I said earlier. I hate what he said. And I hate the fact that they just sat there and committed treason against this country again. But I love the consequences of their actions. It's just mwah, chef's kiss. I love the consequences of their actions. I love the consequences of Mike Johnson's words. And I think that we're going to be happy with the result of these consequences when they come. November 5th will be a reckoning, as Trump says. And these people are doing everything in their power to make sure that it is. And you know, once again, we got to give credit. We got to give them that thank you where that thank you is due. Thank you, Mike Johnson, and thank you, Congress, for reminding us who the real enemy was. It wasn't China, it wasn't Russia, it wasn't Iran. It was you. And we're all going to remember that when November comes. But that, my lovely listeners, is all I've got for you today. My voice is getting a little raspy. But, alas, we've reached the end. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast on my geopolitical podcast. The world is changing in long-lasting ways. And I'll get to that, my Israel epiphany, at some later point in time. But no matter how the world changes, we will have fun watching those changes together. Now, I've been your host, Hyshawn Wade, and you've been listening to This Week in Geopolitics. So till we meet again next Monday, Seyarvus.